Hello, this is Tim Wright from St John's Church in Birkdale, and this is the talk for Sunday the 28th of April 2024. And today's title is The Miraculous Catch of Fish. So thanks for joining us, and today we're looking at the third of Jesus' resurrection appearances, and in particular his interaction with Peter. And today we're going to read from John 21 verses 1 to 17. I've removed one or two of the words from this section of scripture. John 21, 1 to 17. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. The disciples were gathered together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "Well, we'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. He said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Well, I'm going to look at this passage under four headings. Number one, back to the ordinary. Number two, the nets are empty. Number three, the nets are full. And number four, we're in it together with Jesus. So first of all, back to the ordinary. I wonder how many of you, or me indeed, have made New Year's resolutions this year, or in any year. If you did, I wonder how you're getting on with them. I made one to try and reduce the size of my waistline, but unfortunately I've not made an impact. And to be honest, if I have made an impact, it's gone in the wrong direction. Or more recently, who decided to give something up for Lent? Statistics show that over 80% of people who say they are going to give something up for Lent end up failing to keep to it. But then again, 74% of statistics are just made up on the spot, so I'm not sure how much credibility those figures have got. Or what about looking forward to the summer? Who wants to get a bikini body ready for when the sun comes out? Or perhaps fine-tune that six-pack, knowing that in reality, you'll look no different than you do today. And how many of us at work have been to training courses where you reach the last hour and then they ask you what you've learned and how is that going to change the way that you're going to work in the future? And then you make a commitment about what you're going to do differently. But the truth is, when you get back to work the following day, you're back to your old ways, back to the ordinary. I'm sure you can relate to some of these examples. We start off with the best intentions, but quickly we go back to our normal way of life and drift. The difference we thought we'd make, or the changes to our life that we started so enthusiastically, they've gradually or even immediately drifted away. And our passage this morning is set sometime soon after the resurrection. A few weeks maybe after the events of that first Easter. And not that long since they were spending all day, every day with Jesus and being trained and encouraged to do the job that they were called to do to share the good news, to share the news about Jesus. It wasn't that long, was it, since they'd seen his crucifixion and then they'd been told about his resurrection? Or even not that long since they'd seen him in earlier appearances. Certainly they would have known about Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene. And they would have been up there in the upper room when Jesus appeared. And no doubt they'd remember Thomas's encounter with Jesus because they were there. So you'd think that since everything Jesus said was going to happen actually did happen, and then they'd experienced the risen Jesus, that they would be really up for the challenge of their role as disciples. And yet, here we are on the Sea of Galilee. And what are they doing? They've gone back to their old ways and they were fishing. Back to the ordinary. Secondly, the nets are empty. Well, the disciples went fishing at night in the darkness, but they caught nothing. Their nets were empty. And this was true in the literal sense, but it was also true in a different sense. It was dark and they caught nothing. The darkness and the empty nets are not just descriptions of their attempt at fishing. In the same way that the nets were empty, so too were the disciples. They had nothing to show for their hours of effort. Hard work had brought no reward, and despite doing their best, they'd fallen short. And it's the same for all of us. We have all experienced times of darkness, times of emptiness. We've come to the limit sometimes of our own self-sufficiency, nothing left to give, and it's hard. And Jesus calls out to them. He says, "You've no fish, have you?" It's a statement, isn't it, rather than a question. And you can almost hear the intimation in his voice. "You've no fish, have you?" Sounds very similar to the voice of Mary at the wedding at Cana where they ran out of wine. Well, they've no wine. But whether it's empty nets or whether it's empty wine jars, the emptiness is not the end or a failure, but it's the beginning. Because look at what happens in this passage. Jesus only gets to work and the miracles can only start when the wine runs out or our nets are empty. None of us can bounce back until we hit the bottom. The question for us this morning is, what are our empty nets today? It could be our finances. It could be our relationships. It could be problems in our family. It could be our physical health. It could be our mental health. It could be problems at work. Whatever you're dealing with or facing at the moment, remember that the message of this story is that Jesus shows up when the net is empty. Don't abandon the net. Don't abandon the empty wine jar. Don't abandon your circumstances, because it's here that can become a place of renewal and refreshment. And the nets get filled with large fish, 153 of them in this case. It's so much easier, isn't it, on a Sunday when we're together to have faith and keep strong. But when we go back to our day-to-day lives, we can feel empty. Our problems overtake us, but we need to walk with Jesus every day and keep our eyes focused firmly on him. So yes, the disciples seem to go back to the ordinary. Yes, they had empty nets, but let's look now when the nets are full. When the disciples take Jesus' advice and cast their net on the other side, the nets are filled with large fish, 153 of them. There's so much we can learn from this part of the passage. Even though we think we know what we're doing, and in this case, you'd have expected the disciples to know how to fish because they were fishermen. So even though we know what we think we're doing, we're sometimes faced with unexpected and difficult circumstances. And in this case, the disciples had caught nothing. But then Jesus can sometimes direct us to the opposite of what we thought. putting the net out on the other side. These fishermen knew how to fish, but yet Jesus told them to put the net on the other side. And when we obey him, he starts to fill our nets. Notice in this passage, though, that this happens when it starts to get light. The darkness of the night has given way to the start of a new day. New hope, new possibility. I think the picture language used in the Bible here is really helpful. Dark gives way to light. In the light of the new day, in the light of the full net, Jesus shows himself to the disciples. And it's then that they recognize him. Peter and another disciple in verse 7 shout out, "It's the Lord!" Do you ever suddenly realize that God is with you? At a low moment, you suddenly see God's hand in your situation. Well, whatever darkness we're facing, Jesus will show up and guide you out of the darkness and gradually into the light. Just like the dawning of a new day, when you call on his name, he'll be there at the shore by your side. He can turn your life around. It's why we believe here at St. John's that if we are a God-centered church, we can encounter life transformation. And that's exactly what Jesus promises in John 10, verse 10. "I have come to give you life in its fullness." Not just a couple of small fish, 153 whoppers. Now, these full nets might also remind us of a previous time the disciples caught nothing until Jesus turned up. Remember the time that Jesus was recruiting his first disciples and he went out in the boat with them after they'd fished all night with no catch. He told them then to cast their nets on the other side and they caught so much that the boat began to sink. And I don't think it's any coincidence that in this post-resurrection encounter, Jesus repeats the same miracle. We've said so often during our talks here at St. John's that we need to constantly remind ourselves of the past faithfulness of God when we're going through difficult times. And here, that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's filling their empty nets in the same way he did in the early days of his ministry, to remind them, to confirm to them who he is and what he can do. So the disciples went back to the ordinary. They had empty nets. They obeyed Jesus and their nets were full. And finally, we're in it together with Jesus. And let's just now focus a little bit looking at Peter. Simon Peter. In this encounter, he was the first disciple to react when another disciple recognised Jesus. He had no clothes on, but he put some on and he jumped into the sea. They were 100 yards out. But Peter had no fear. Not this time. And I say this time because you might remember the miracle when Jesus walked on water. And when Peter challenged him with the words, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you in the water." Back then, Peter was doubting who Jesus was and was asking him to prove who he was. This time, it's totally different. There aren't any demands. There aren't any requests. There's no element of doubt. Peter just gets up, dives into the water to get to Jesus. The other disciples then make their way to the shore and they all have breakfast with Jesus on the beach. And I think it's such a beautiful transition, isn't it, from the Last Supper a few weeks ago to the first breakfast with the risen Jesus now. What might have looked like tragic endings at the cross have become new beginnings. And during breakfast, there's a conversation between Peter and Jesus. "Do you love me, Jesus?" asks Peter, not just one time, but he then repeats it two more times. Three times Jesus asks if Peter loves him. Again, nothing in the Bible is a coincidence. Three times. Three opportunities for Peter to say he loves the Lord, each time for each of Peter's denials of Jesus just a few weeks earlier. Peter had let Jesus down a few days before the crucifixion very publicly, but Jesus is showing his great forgiveness. And how does Jesus respond to Peter's confirmation of love? Well, he gives him an instruction, doesn't he, after each command. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, tend my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. And this is a really helpful, as we close, a really helpful reminder for us. It's more than a reminder. It's an instruction. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. It's an instruction to us. We are called to spread the good news of Jesus and play an active part in growing his kingdom. If you're a Christian, you are called to serve. You are called to work for God. Loving Jesus isn't passive. It requires us to step up to the plate. It requires us to play our part. We are in it together with Jesus. And it is so encouraging that so many of our congregation are stepping forward here into roles and into service. It's very much appreciated by the leadership team here. But remember that it's ultimately, it's not for us, it's for Jesus. You're serving him in whatever role you have and whatever job you offer to do. So this morning, we know that the disciples did go back to their own ways and that led to empty nets. But Jesus turns up and the nets are full. And we're reminded, we are instructed that we're in it together with Jesus. It is so much more important than keeping a New Year's resolution or reducing our waistline or putting our training courses to good use. This is about a challenge to us about playing our part in God's kingdom. Amen.